now entering a new forum to discuss reality, not illusion. Welcome to UFO Encounters Live with your watchman of the night skies, Ronnie McMullen.
Wake up, America! Welcome again to another edition of UFO Encounters. Tonight, another edition of mind control. It is said by the media that mind control does not even exist because mainstream media does not want to touch on the reality of what has taken place in secret, covert, black ops projects that are funded by the U.S. taxpayers and spent traumatizing and victimizing innocent children to go into their black ops super soldier program. Before I introduce my guests, for those of you that would like to get a hold of me, my email, ufoshow@msn.com. That's ufoshow@msn.com. UFO Encounters Live is dedicated at unraveling the mystery behind secret black ops and, of course, the UFO agenda. The ET extraterrestrial agenda. And there is an agenda to receive knowledge and to use it to gain power and control over not just the American public, but the global public that serves its so-called leaders. When was the birth of the MKUltra Super Soldier program? It is said the late 1940s, with the introduction of Project Paperclip, moving the Nazi scientists from Germany into the U.S., also into other countries as well, and a secret group of men known as the MJ-12. Torture, trauma, memories, and such keep these victims from recalling or telling the truths of what really is going on behind closed doors. My guest tonight was taken from a young boy and brought into a program called MKUltra, and trained to be a super warrior. Find out tonight on a three-part series the truth behind my guest, Duncan O'Finion. Duncan, welcome to the program. How are you doing, my friend?
Very good, sir. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with Duncan O'Finion. And a lot of people, you said chop up your name. Hopefully I won't do that on this program.
No,
but
that was good.
I want to talk about, obviously, the MKUltra that you were a part of. And a lot of people, you know, they kind of know what that is. They've heard of other people like James Casbolt, or maybe they've heard of Kathy O'Brien, and there's quite a few others. You are obviously what they call a super warrior, are you not?
That's what I was, yeah.
Okay. I want to start, if we could, we're going to do part one for this show tonight. I want to start with part one, which is, how did they get you involved in this? And if you don't mind, if you would share about how did you become involved in this program, and how do they turn you into a super warrior? So if you can start with maybe some of your childhood and what you saw taking place of it with the memories you have.
Sure. Basically, I was taken in at 6 years old.
Okay.
And that age is subjective. It might have been a little younger, a little older, but I've always maintained that it was about 6 years old. And I was given a test. And I passed. Drugged, drink, which I drank, and put to sleep. And I had no conscious memory until just over 3 years later after that.
Okay.
Now, what I was taken into at that time was an MKUltra sub-project known as Project Talent.
Project Talent, okay.
What a lot of people don't realize is that MKUltra is just like a big umbrella.
Okay.
You know, it's like a Christmas tree full of ornaments. And there's 172 sub-projects that are known under the umbrella of MKUltra. Now, Talent being a sub-project, at the time I was taken in, there was 1,000 of us.
Okay.
And we were 1,000 kids from all over the world.
And now, what year would you say this was roughly in?
It was, well, taken in 1966.
In 66, and there was about 1,000 of you.
Right.
Okay.
That was in just a group that I was in.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there was a subsequent group before that that was in the late 1950s. The project itself was a failure, but it had some individual successes, and that's what allowed the next generation to move on in the 1960s.
Now, was this project in the United States?
This one was, yes.
Okay.
The Ultimate Warrior Project, or the Super Soldier Project, actually started in Nazi Germany. And all the scientists that were involved in that project were brought to this country via Project Paperclip.
Yeah.
A lot of people heard about Project Paperclip.
Correct.
Right after World War II.
Yes.
However, what most people don't know is that the United States did not get all of the scientists.
Okay.
The former Soviet Union at that time got a lot. Great Britain got several.
Okay.
A lot of them went to South America, which is fairly well known. And the project just continued and grew and advanced from there. Now, the reason that I was involved is because my father was involved.
Okay.
And that was
your father in the military?
No, nope, my father was in the CIA.
Oh, okay. You went up me there.
Well, that was a fact that I did not know. I had no clue about until after he died.
Hmm.
And I was in the Virgin Islands. I was on the island of St. Thomas. And I was having a discussion with an attorney who was an old family friend. And the subject of my father passing away came up, and he asked me if I had gotten his files. And I didn't have a clue. I looked at him and said, Fred, what files? What are you talking about?
Right.
And he said, you don't know? And I said, no, what are you talking about? He said, well, we need to go talk. And some of the things he told me was, even to me, with what I knew then, was kind of wild.
Really?
And that's where I found out that my dad was in the CIA. And that made a lot of subsequent facts tie in together.
Okay.
That made the puzzle start really fitting together. And that goes in with these projects being generational.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, what I don't understand, Duncan, is if your dad, and I don't know your relationship with your father, but if your dad loved you and he loved you as a son, why would he want to put you in this program or allow them to put you in this program?
I don't think he had a choice.
You always have a choice. You die for the cause.
That's true, but these people give you, you've heard the old mafia term, I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Yeah. So
that's
kind of
the same situation.
Is it about money?
Were they financially compensated? As far as I understand, yeah, they were. However, this is the way that it's been explained to me.
Okay.
At that time, I had two other siblings, two younger brothers.
All right.
And it was kind of a trade-off. Give us one, you keep two.
So your brothers are not involved in any way?
No. However, I will say both my brothers are 33rd-degree Masons.
So they're still in it.
They're in it, just not in the same category that I was in it. I also might add, I haven't spoken with anyone in my family in 20 years.
So it's definitely a family breaker.
Yeah.
Did your mom know about it? Did your mom know that you were in this program, and was she clued into this?
My mom had knowledge, yes. I do not know how much knowledge she had, but my mother was actually the one who took me in and signed the papers.
To sign you over?
Yeah.
Wow, that just gives me a gut ache right now. So you get into this program at 6 years old. Now, see, Duncan, a lot of people are going to say, this can't be happening, and not because they're necessarily saying you're a liar, but because they're saying, because of what we're going to be talking about and how they, traumatized you and how they get you to do what you do, most people does not think America is that bad and America is being controlled by them, and so they just block it out, kind of denial. Have you seen that happen before?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the greatest retorts for that, excuse me, is actually to check the FBI's own statistics. Of the hundreds of thousands of people, men, women, and mostly children, that go missing every year in this country, never to be seen or heard from again. Now, the statistics show nearly 500,000 children go missing every year in this country.
Yeah.
Now, if you take a couple hundred thousand that are involved in custodial disputes, okay, yep. Those can be explained away. That still leaves how many hundred thousands unaccounted for?
Wow. Wow.
They're going somewhere.
Yeah, they are going somewhere. My special guest is Duncan O'Finion, and we will be right back with more of Duncan after these messages. Welcome back to UFO Encounters Live. Our guest, Duncan O'Finion. Duncan, when they took you at 6 years old, your parents signed you over, as you said. I mean, again, my gut just wrenched with that. What happened there? They, obviously, you know, we can name them, you know, maybe you want to name them, but what did they do, and how did they get you ready to do what they wanted you to do?
Okay, first thing they did was two things simultaneously. One was to build up my pain tolerance. Now, when I say me, I can only speak of what was done to me at this time.
Okay.
Now, different things were done to different kids.
Okay.
Now, what they did to me, and please keep in mind, this didn't take place in a day.
Okay.
All right, this took place over many, many months.
Okay.
Because they wanted the pain tolerance built up to a point to where the mind would actually fracture in half. Now, what they did to me is I'm this little kid, and I'm stripped naked, and I'm strapped to a wooden chair.
Okay.
And you can't move. I mean, you're strapped to where you can't move.
Okay.
And the arms of the chair are wide. And there's these pegs in there where your fingers are spread open inside the pegs.
Okay.
They would start. Day one, they inserted one needle underneath one fingertip.
Okay.
All the way underneath the nail. And there was flashing lights. There was repeated verbal abuse, on and on. Well, from there, you're taken out, put in a cell. And that's what it was, a cell. Okay. A bare concrete floor. In a bare concrete room with no window and a small dim yellow bulb.
Okay.
You got no idea how long you're in there at a time. Could be minutes, hours, days. There's no way, no concept of time.
Were you put in there naked?
Usually they would let us wear like a pullover smock.
Okay. Like a prisoner type thing.
Yeah, real rough material.
Okay.
The next time you would go in, they would insert a needle under two fingers.
Okay.
More flashing lights, more abuse, more physical abuse, and they start slapping you around, that kind of thing. This goes on days, weeks, months.
And every time you get in that chair, you're naked?
Every time.
Now, are you naked because they want to humiliate you?
That, and it makes cleanup easier. They just spray you off with a water hose.
Oh, from blood or anything else?
Well, blood, vomit, everything comes out.
Okay.
So until finally all 10 fingers had needles in them.
Okay.
Then they rolled in this box, and they plugged it up, and they put alligator clips on all 10 of the needles. And then they put the ground wire down on the inside of my thigh and turned it on. So you're sitting there being electrocuted. Now, the reason this is done is everybody knows once the human body, the human psyche, reaches a certain pain level, you faint. You black out.
Okay.
Well, the Nazi chemists were true evil geniuses. They created a drug cocktail that blocked those neuroreceptors to where you did not pass out. So when the pain became such that you could not stand it anymore, your mind, your psyche had two choices. Split off into a completely alternate personality to survive, or you choose to die. Half of us that were put through this did not split. They died.
They died.
So what they had is when we split was a total, fresh, clean personality that they had total control over.
Kind of like they're God and you're the puppet.
Exactly.
And that pain tolerance in that new fresh split is higher, a higher tolerance than in a normal human?
We don't feel pain.
You don't
even... in that personality. We don't feel, we just ignore it.
So you don't feel pain. What about compassion or any of the normal feelings and emotions that a human carries? Are those gone too?
They are gone.
So, which makes it perfect for you to become an assassin so that you don't feel any remorse because you can just keep moving and doing what they want you to do.
That's exactly right. Now, after this is done, it continues.
Okay, let me take a break and we'll come back on our third set here.
Sure.
My guest is Duncan O'Finion, and we will be right back after these messages. Welcome back to the program. And again, Duncan O'Finion is my guest. And sometimes this might be a little tough, so if you have little ones around, you maybe don't want to let them listen to this. You might not think it's true, but for those in the know, they absolutely know this is true and that Duncan is telling exactly what's going on and trying to get the word out. Duncan, we left off with some of the trauma and splitting that personality. So when the personality splits, now do they do this with males and females or just the males?
Both. Absolutely both.
Now, what do they use the females? I mean, I've heard the males become, I mean, this also has a piece of remote viewing later on in it too, doesn't it?
It does.
Okay.
And I'm the first one to admit, as far as remote viewing goes, I was terrible at it.
Okay.
I wasn't very good.
Okay. What do they use the women for? You know, I mean, obviously the males become assassins, and I'm sure now some of the females are becoming assassins because they're probably built a lot like the males. But maybe in the time when you started, what were the females used for?
Okay, that's a great question. I've never had it asked that way. That's beautiful. Project Talent, the best way to understand Project Talent, think of it as going to school.
Yes.
Okay. You take a group of kids, you get them to where you need them, i.e., your mind fractured, so they all have alternate personalities.
Sure.
Project Talent, everybody went through the same training. We all went through the same martial arts training. We all went through the same combat training, shooting training, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
Now, as we got older, it's just like in grammar school, everybody learns the same thing.
Sure.
You go to high school, you get electives.
Yes.
And you start being more advanced.
Yes.
So that's when they start splitting us off into smaller groups, different areas, seeing okay. what this person's best at.
Right.
And that's where they would be put. There definitely were female assassins. And let's be honest, females can go places males can't.
Right.
And they can be used in ways that guys can't. Also, in my case, we were what was known as tweened. We were matched up, male and female, to work as a team.
Okay.
To where the female was the strong psychic, the male was the soldier.
Okay.
And we worked as a team.
So you had a female counterpart?
I did.
And do they
and
pick
she
the
is alive.
Do they pick females by their beauty? Do they pick females by their bloodline? Do they pick females because their parents signed them in? I mean, how do they pick them?
Actually, a little bit of all three. A great deal of this has to do with bloodlines, going through all the Illuminati stuff.
Yeah.
I'm no expert on.
Okay. Do you have those kind of bloodlines, those royal bloodlines?
I was told so.
Okay.
My blood type is AB negative.
Okay.
And I'm half Irish and half Cherokee Indian, so.
Is it true that the O before the word is kind of a mark that you can be, I was told it was a mark of MK Ultra or a mark of Super Warrior, that when you see the name O, whatever it is, it could be O'Reilly, O'Finion, whatever. Is that a mark?
I've been told that as well. The O in front of the name simply means son of. Finnan comes from the old name Finbar, King Finbar. That's
okay.
where O'Finion actually comes from.
Okay.
King Finbar was half legend, half fact, but he was also considered the greatest Celtic warrior to ever live.
Okay.
There's probably some merit to that, but I don't know where it goes or where it comes from exactly.
Okay.
I'm still learning a lot about
yes.
all this.
So when, now your female counterpart, is she like you trying to get the word out, or is she still in it?
She's just like me trying to get the word out.
Really? Okay.
Yep. We actually speak almost every day.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
So, but she's not related to you like a wife or anything?
No, no.
Were you in the same room when you trained together, or were you trained kind of separately but kind of together, or how did that work?
Started training separately, and then we were tweened up when she would have been about 9 years old, and I would have been in my late teens.
Okay, so she's younger than you?
She's younger than me, yes.
Now, was she really good at remote viewing?
Oh, God, yes.
Okay, are the females as a whole better at remote viewing?
Yes, they are. Females as a whole are better with psi abilities, period.
Okay. So there's few males that are really good at that.
It's been my experience that that's correct. There are exceptions to that rule, of course. But it's been my experience that it's usually the women who have the top-notch PSI ability or psi ability.
Okay. Did you ever, were you ever involved in any time travel in the experimentations?
Can I take the fifth on that one?
You can take the fifth on that one. Okay.
Yeah, I'll briefly explain why, because I don't have all the facts yet.
That's totally fine. I just thought I would throw it your way. It's probably a sideball, and I didn't really mean to throw that, but it just came to me.
No, it was excellent. It was excellent. I don't talk about things unless I have
the facts.
Three separate points of fact.
Okay.
Three separate sources.
Okay. So you trained in the United States, and we know with like MI6 in UK, they were involved in it, and you're telling me Russia's involved in it and South America.
Yes.
So the whole world and this whole New World Order thing is really involved in this.
Right.
Let me ask you this. The training and part of what they learned and all of this, do you think it came from another dimension, which a lot of people would relate to as extraterrestrial? Do you think that some of that technology came from that realm?
I think that's a very real possibility.
Okay, possibility, or would you one-up that?
I have no hard fact of that, but it's my gut feeling.
Okay.
That yes, a lot of this had to have came from someplace else.
Okay. So in your training, when do they release you, or do they ever release you? In other words, when do they say, okay, Duncan, you're ready to go to do whatever we want you to do, or did they start doing that as a child?
They started doing that as a child. The first thing that I remember, I still have a hard time with this one. So what people need to understand, it's taken me 12 years to get to where I can talk about this
okay.
without saying I got to go or call me back tomorrow or something.
Okay.
When I was about 10, I was given a puppy to play with.
Okay.
And it was a very sterile, environment, white floors, white walls, anesthetic smell, three or four people in suits. And I was given this little puppy to play with.
Okay.
And I got to play with it for a while. And then I was given a knife and told to let it go. Let it go meant kill it. And, of course, I rebelled. And, of course, they won. And I wound up slitting its throat.
Okay.
And that was young. That's how they started us.
I have had another person tell me almost that exact same story.
I can remember the color of it, the smell of it, everything.
So how did you feel afterwards, Duncan?
Empty. Just totally empty, which is exactly what they wanted.
So did you feel like when you cut that dog, you cut your own heart out?
Yeah, I would say so. I've never really looked at it that way, but yeah.
Because at 10 years old, I mean, you're a kid. You know, you're a kid, you got love in your heart, and would you say out of a lot of the traumas, and it sounds like you've gone through many, and obviously, you know, we haven't talked a whole long time, would you say that was one of your biggest traumas?
I would say yes, that I was forced to do because I was so young.
Did they cheer you when you killed the dog?
No. No, it was just, you had a job to do, you did it. And
if you didn't, like, at the first when you rebelled, what did they do? Did they beat you? Did they scream at you? What did they do?
Anybody ever had a cattle prod stuck to their back?
Hmm.
They used cattle prods on us. Failure was not an option. In martial arts training, in a lot of the old Oriental schools, you'll see the instructor walk around with a short staff or corner staff and will tap the student on the shoulder or the back or something if they're not doing it right. We got tapped with cattle prods.
Wow. Now, in this situation with the puppy, were you the only one, or were there other kids waiting in line and they had to go through the puppy incident? Or
no, I was the only child in the room.
Okay. So this is all done alone?
Correct.
In any of your colleagues that work with that are out there on the wall warning about this stuff going on, have you ever heard any stories of puppy stories like that?
Yes.
To them?
Oh, God. Yes, absolutely. One even remembers having to watch one of the children who was a failure be dismembered and being told, if you fail again, this is what will happen to you.
So in other words, they dismembered a child in front of another child.
To traumatize that child to do better.
Okay, let's talk about them. Let's talk about the training of them. Are these even humans, Duncan? I mean, I know that sounds really weird, and No, it doesn't. Because I know there's a lot of wicked people in the world, and the greedy people, lustful people, whatever. But I just, in my psyche, I can't even imagine this. I mean, it fractures me just to hear you. So are these people human, or are they from, I don't know, maybe, can you answer that? Are they human?
Well, they look physically human, but I remember looking into their eyes, and I saw emptiness.
So they're soulless.
I would say soulless, absolutely, beyond a doubt. I mean, it was just like looking into a dark cave when you looked in their eyes. There's nothing there, nothing behind them.
No emotion?
None.
No emotion when they hurt you?
No.
Did they ever cheer you on, like when you did something good, because I've heard other stories where, like, one of you would beat up another and they'd go, yeah, you're the greatest or whatever, and turn around and, 5 seconds later, you're a piece of dirt. So was there ever any emotion in your training where they cheered you on?
Not in mine, not that I remember.
Like, that's a good boy, you did good, whatever, and usually it's twisted, but nothing that you can remember?
Not that I can remember. Of course, I don't remember everything either. So that may very well have taken place, but I don't remember it.
Well, usually we remember two things. We remember the major trauma and some of the best events.
That's true.
So if you don't have any memory of best events, maybe you don't have any.
Probably so.
How did your family, now you're going through this, let me ask you this, when you're training as a child, and for years and months, do you go home at night, or is this?
No. I was gone for sometimes months, sometimes years at a time. Where I was from at that time, that was quite easily to take care of. Small town, Eastern Kentucky, a mile up a dirt road, over a mile away from your closest neighbor, isolated, family didn't have a lot of friends. It was quite easy.
So would you say the small towns in the Midwest could be a great target for them?
Absolutely.
And maybe they stay away from the cities because too many people notice?
Well, they can still. I would say they go into the ghetto areas.
Yeah, where nobody really cares.
Where nobody cares, nobody notices.
Okay, so big cities that are bad slums, that kind of thing, and then maybe little towns in the Midwest, and these are maybe a high victimization rate.
I would say yes.
Okay, so you would be away from your. Did they school you? Did they train you to read and write? When you were doing this, or. What is your training mentally?
I have a very good education, just not that's on any record. I don't even have a high school diploma.
But yet you probably have college degree if you were to equalize what what might be in the world, correct?
I've been tested. You know, I was actually going to go to college once. I had to do the GED to get into a community college, whatnot. I took some of the CLEP exams just to see how well I could do.
Yeah.
Try to use life experiences to move in. It would put me at a junior college level instantly.
Huh. Okay.
And
you don't even have a diploma, and they put you in a junior college.
Yeah, but just because of the IQ level,
right?
And as the instructor said, you know, your knowledge of world events and whatnot is vast.
Interesting. My guest is Duncan O'Finion, and we will be right back after these messages. Welcome back to the program. Duncan, some of the stuff that you've shared is just absolutely, I'll be honest with you, Duncan, it's over the top. And not that I don't believe you, but to the normal, you know, Joe that goes down the street into the grocery store, they don't get it.
No, and I don't blame them.
I mean, how do you deal with this? I mean, do you have a lot of people that you can share with, or are they all kind of either, you know, rejecting because whatever, they can't handle it, or they just don't believe you? I mean, how does your life, how do you do?
Well, I don't have a lot of friends to begin with. I have several people that I associate with, but not that I discuss anything with.
Yeah.
Normally, the people that I talk about with this are people like you, someone who does have a good grip on things, and the people who were in the projects with me, or subsequent generations and whatnot. We're basically all we have.
Yeah, and I think that's sad. It's probably a very lonely world.
It is. It is. But, you know, really, I can't blame people for listening to something like this, saying, guys, there's no way. All I would say is do some research.
Yeah.
Okay, even the government has admitted to a lot of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do think the Creator's looking out for you, Duncan. I believe that with my whole heart. And I really do think that, you know, in the end, we're going to win, Duncan. That I know.
I agree.
You've got a conference coming up. You want to speak about that real quick before we close off?
Yeah, we do. February 13th and 14th in Boston, Massachusetts at the Sheraton Hotel.
Okay.
It's being called the first ever MK Ultra Conference. Every speaker is going to talk about MKUltra. We have Colin Ross, who is the top psychiatrist in the MKUltra field. He's going to be giving a three-hour talk. We have my sister-in-arms, Rebecca Jernigan, Bill Ryan and Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot, who are helping us put this thing on, and more speakers to be added as we go. Now, right now, the conference website was hacked into, and it's down. We're working on that. But if you go to my website, just DuncanO'Finion.com, you can find the particulars of the conference there. Can't buy tickets or anything, but you can at least get a good picture of it.
Well, I will link your website to my website so that people can find out how to get to this conference. Is this like an awareness conference?
Basically what we're trying to do is say, here we are, this is what we went through. All we want people to do is listen. Just listen and think. Do your own research, okay, and then make up your minds. Just don't dismiss us out of hand.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I've had too many like you, Duncan, that I'm a firm believer, and of course when you study the bad guys and how evil they are, to me, it's not hard to grasp this. Duncan, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And, of course, this is part one. We'll do part two here in weeks to come. So you're going to be wanting to watch Duncan's part two, and then we'll have part three to finish it off. So, Duncan, thank you so much for being on the show. I very much appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure, sir.
That was my guest, Duncan O'Finion. And of course, you need to understand that when we say a survivor of MKUltra, this means that they have come into the know and they realize that what they were used for was wrong, that something happened to them, and they fight to warn the people to say, guess what? This is what's going on, and there are many more just like us. Again, you probably heard that was the first part in a three-part series. And I will be putting on the other two parts as quick as I can and hopefully have it all out before their February conference. You can go to the website, UFOEncountersLive.com, and I will have a link with Duncan up to his website so you can look and further research this very strange phenomena. It's been a pleasure, and of course, I always like serving the public and giving them knowledge and getting their brain to widen and stretch so they can do their own research and find out what I'm talking about and the guests that I bring on is absolutely true. I thank you so much for listening. And again, UFOshow@MSN.com if you want to get a hold of me. So join me next week. And again, I'm your watchman of the night skies, Ronnie McMullen, signing off. Good night.